Can you hear me, John?
New.
Yeah, okay. All
Right,
right.
you can hear me?
I could hear you. I wasn't able to put
That's the
the
first time I've ever did this. All right, everybody. Welcome to the John Albatross Show. I got with me today Ronan James of Horror Punks USA and pretty much the jack of all trades at Deadsville Productions. And we're going to talk about the state of live music today and everything. A lot going on out there with Congress is getting involved because of Ticketmaster, which is essentially Live Nation. And basically just going to talk about how it used to be and what's going on now. Now, Ronan, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a promoter. That's why I brought you on today. You do shows, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, John.
No problem.
So I promote in Philly, Delaware, Jersey, tri-state area, I guess. Horror Punks USA, my promotion company, and we started out as kind of a niche promotions group doing strictly horror punk shows, but since then we've branched out into pop punk and punk metal, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I've seen that. How I got I don't know if it was Horror Punks USA. It was actually at the Troc Balcony. I seen you guys, your band, Voodoo Death Cult. You guys opened up for Electric Frankenstein. I was like, shows there.
That was a while back.
2019.
Pre-COVID, right before.
Yeah. But yeah, I've seen you got some Electric Frankenstein. They're not huge, but they've got a nice following too. They were in the Tony Hawk game. They were featured in alternative press and all those magazines and stuff. And I see recently you're doing a show in Delaware with the Queers as well.
We have the Queers coming through for the second time. They came through last year on tour, and we did well with them at Bar 13. It's always a good time, always a good show. Coming back again this year. They got Susie Moon with them, who she's played with us before as well. Had a good turnout as well.
Yeah, she's kind of I'm not too familiar with her, but I've seen her around on the punk thing. She's coming up. She comes up on my Spotify, I think, sometimes.
She just released her, I guess, her second full-length album, or her first one might have been an EP. At any rate, it's a popular album, and she's probably one of the most popular female punk artists coming up right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're basically not, I don't want to say a do-it-yourself venue, but kind of are, right?
Well, I kinda. I mean, I'm a do-it-myself promoter. We
Yeah.
work strictly out of Bar 13 now. I have a studio in Collingdale where we were doing live shows, but it's just such a pain in the ass. Especially when you don't have a liquor license, you don't sell booze. You're not really making any money as a venue. So,
Yeah, that's one thing I'll get into later on about that. But yeah, that's people don't realize how much booze actually you make money off of booze. People love to drink, and especially at shows, and it's basically profit because you can charge whatever you want for booze. And
Absolutely. I mean, and that's where the bar mainly makes its money. That's why, I mean, you get to, well, with us at least, when we do Hellaware Punk Nights now, second Fridays of every month, and the bands just split the door money. We don't take anything out of the money that comes through the door for those guys to cover any costs or anything like that. That all goes strictly to the bands because, the bar makes its money at the bar.
Yeah,
So.
I mean, that's the big thing. It's like the 21 plus shows. They're like, hey, we don't care about the, it's 21 plus. There's more people that are legally allowed to drink, and
Right.
you get like five.
Almost everybody there is drinking. I mean, you'll get a couple of people that don't drink or sober or whatever, still come out to shows and have a good time, but they'll
Yeah,
still buy
that's it.
sodas or
You don't want people
beer.
driving drunk.
Yeah, that too, of course.
Yeah, you'd rather not have somebody die than could be a possible patron later on. So
No,
that's one thing you understand.
yeah, that's why in Delaware everything closes at 1, so it's kind of like an early, they have an earlier last call than Philly and most places where we go. So Delaware's pretty good about it.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But Yeah. So, what was I saying?
And we we got Susie Moon. We got, who else? The Raging Nathans are also on that show. We just had the Coffin Cats come through. Coffin Cats do well here. This is their second time coming through. And then we just announced we're going to go to Cleveland with them in the summer for Slasher Fest 4 this year.
Yeah. So it's like you're branching out a little bit more. I mean, you started out in the Philly area, but you're branching out a lot more like nationwide. Sounds like you're getting into the Midwest as well, which is also a pretty decent market. You got like Cleveland, Columbus, Chicago, Milwaukee out there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we just sent Dickie, Devil, and the Deviants on a little tour up there, and they kind of made the connection in Cleveland for us. And the owner of the venue where they played reached out and said, hey, why don't we do some kind of little festival this summer? And we had actually, right before COVID, we had plans to do a festival in Connecticut. We were supposed to take, I think it was Slasher Fest, up to Connecticut one summer. And it was the COVID year, so it just got completely shut down, and we never got to take it on the road. So this is the first year. Also, because when we first started, Slasher Fest was at Voltage Lounge in Philadelphia. That was our original home for it. We did great there, but that was another COVID casualty. Lost Voltage. Now our home, Bar 13 in Delaware, which is great. Love Bar 13. Holds about 200 to 225-ish, I guess, after the bands and the staff and all are accounted for.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, great sound. It's right on the border, so it's not far from Philly, which is great. So a lot of the Philly crowd can get there quickly.
25 minutes from downtown, depending where you're at.
Yep, you just jump on 95 and you're there. It's not too bad. The sound's good there. The atmosphere is good. Everybody's real friendly. I mean, we made sure to keep the jerks out of our scene. Our people do a pretty good job of patrolling each other and our crowd and making sure if people step out of line, we know who it is and we get them out of there. We like to make sure everybody's safe, comfortable, feels like it's a welcoming environment.
Yeah, that's like I've seen people on TikTok, like these conservatives that just don't get it. They're like, you have safe spaces. I had mosh pits. And I'm like, the whole point of the mosh pit was a safe space. It was a bunch of people that were, you know, enjoying the music. You knocked somebody down, you helped them up. You weren't there just to hurt people. You were there to have fun. Shit happens, but you're all there to have fun and just enjoy the band and knock somebody down. You help them up. You give them a hug. You go back in there.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, more people should take that lesson in the real world. And when somebody gets knocked down, help them up instead of kicking them.
Yeah. Unlike, I don't know if you remember them, like FSU, they would just kick everybody's ass that they didn't like. I'm like, dude, what's the point of that? You're all here to enjoy the band.
It's yeah.
By your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking,
I remember the old hardcore. Yep.
Fucking. I can go on about that for like 45 minutes, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
So I brought you on today because you are a promoter and I've seen you've been doing well with it. And you've been getting some, like I said, you've been getting some decent sized bands. I mean, from starting from basically nothing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. This all started DIY and I guess, I mean, at one point, I just started emailing bigger bands to try and get bigger acts for Slasher Fest, some of the summer events that we do. And I got in with Atomic Music Group and a couple other of the agencies that rep Wednesday 13 we've had through, Delta Bombers.
I remember back in, 2002, I seen him with the Murder Dolls, and a lot of people don't realize that was like one of Joey Jordison's side projects of Slipknot RIP. He was the guitarist.
Yep. Yep.
I remember getting into the argument. I was like, yeah, Joey, he's the drummer. I'm like, no, he's the guitarist. It's like, how do you know? I'm like, cause it's on the website. You can just look. He's a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah.
It's funny. But yeah, he's been around like Wednesday 13. He's been around for well over 20 years at this point, making us feel old as shit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he just did his 20 Years of Fear tour. That's what we just had. He came through and played at Delaware on the anniversary tour last year. And he was super nice. Had us all on the bus afterwards, took pictures and stuff like that. They were cool guys. They put on a great show too. I mean, and I'll be honest, I've seen them a bunch of times, and every time I've seen them, it's in a much larger venue. So that's what's been cool really too. I guess one of the benefits of COVID, you could say, is a lot of these bands that wouldn't play somewhere as small as a Bar 13 a couple years ago, pre-COVID, it's kind of like some stuff because we've lost bigger venues because people don't want to deal with Live Nation in some venues now. We've been able to book some of these bigger acts in our little, 200 plus capacity bar venue. So it's been pretty good.
And I'm glad you said you got Wednesday 13 to play a show too, because like basically that's going to go on to what I'm getting at about Live Nation is like he's played bigger. He's been around for 20 years. He was with the Murder Dolls with Joey Jordison back in 2002 when Slipknot was like white hot. I mean, they're still a big band, the big act, the big draw, but right. That helped them out.
He is Wednesday. He's played Ozfest and like the big metal festivals and stuff as Wednesday 13. And he's played the giant packed arenas before. And for him to come and park his bus next to our little bar was pretty cool.
but that's like when I'm saying that too. It's like you said, he is a bigger, like he is somewhat of a draw. He has a draw. He's been on Ozfest. He's been around the block and. Like he don't want to, like he would say, hey, I'd rather play a 250 place venue, which is actually better for the fans too, because the fans can get close as you want and they can say, wow, and they can like, take their pictures being like, wow, look how close I got to this guy.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. They right up front, he's shaking hands with people. I mean, it was, the merch table, they hang out for a little bit. They do the VIP meet and greets and all that pre-show for people that want to get that kind of stuff. But they still hung out and super down to earth guys. So
yeah. But like you said too, it's just like, hey, I'd rather play the 250 person venue than play like say like 1,000 venue that the Live Nation owns, because they're probably not only making more money, they can interact with the fans more and they're not going to have to like pay like, the one band I was just, they just had a thing, this band Architects, I believe they're a hardcore metal band. Mm-hmm. They're having like a thing, hey, we got to boycott these venues, primarily like Live Nation and stuff, because they're getting like a 20% cut of our merch.
That's
and, like, toured, like, crazy. And all that, like you don't make money. So a lot of people don't realize, like when you record a record, like you'll have like a advance for the record to record it. That's basically like a loan.
Right.
The record company's getting their money back. Right. You basically like your bread and butter's touring to make money on the live shows and the merch.
Yep. Yeah, it's all like, merch nowadays. It's definitely where you're making your money.
That's a thing with I saw a thing Doyle got pissed off that he had to do meet and greets with scumbag fans. I posted it on my Facebook.
I'm just like, Doyle's quite the character.
I'm not talking shit on the Misfits. They are iconic, but you haven't had one album that was like a gold album. Like you literally make your bread and butter off of the fucking Crimson Ghost. And you're talking about like, oh, they're downloading my music and they're doing this and it's making, and I was like, get the fuck out of here. But like I was saying a thing in Congress, there was this group called I forget what they were called. It was like some poppy like blues group. But he was saying, hey, Live Nation, we got an 8-piece band. Like say if we play a venue, Live Nation, they charge us 20% for to sell merch. And all I could think of is the TLA where you got that little merch stand. And it's like, you sell like $5,000 worth of merch. Yep. You're going to have to pay these people $1,000?
That's fucking nuts.
For that, it's like, that's their bread and butter. And he's like, so maybe I'll sell the tickets for like $25 and Live Nation gets their cut. I get $12 a ticket out of that.
Yeah.
I got I got an 8-piece band. I got to cover costs for like production. I got to cover like transportation. I got to cover health insurance for my group. I mean, they're fucking touring the country. It's like, right. I can't have them not insured. And God forbid if something happens to them.
Right. And what's crazy is Live Nation takes that percentage of their ticket costs and then has the nerve to add on all those fees afterwards that they make, that they pocket as well. It's just a fucking scam.
Yeah. But like so last year, like I'm a fan of Alice in Chains, and it was Christmas time. And my sister was like, I kind of want to go see Jerry Cantrell. He's coming to the TLA. And I'm like, all right, I'll go see. The tickets were $49.50. I'm like, all right, respect. I like him. He's a legend.
Right.
He's big time. So I go, like, I work downtown. I had to do something at work early in the day. And I went to the TLA. I was like, I'll just get him at the box office. I'll avoid, like, the fees and shit.
Right.
Box office was closed. You can get the tickets online. I was like, okay, I can get them online, but that defeats the purpose of having a fucking box office. But right. All right. So I went online. $49 ticket was $70. And I'm looking at like all the junk fees. Yeah. And they had like a venue maintenance fee for like, so the independent venues. I'm like, you own the fucking venue. Why are you putting a maintenance fee, a venue, independent venue fee? And the one that pissed me off, and I just said, fuck it, liquor restocking fee. I'm like,
you're charging them. That's insane, dude.
I was like, if you get a keg, like I worked in a beer store, if you get a keg of Miller Lite, it's like $80. Gosh, right. Like probably charging $7.
Right.
You're making $1,500 at least on that keg.
Yeah, that's crazy.
$20 back from fucking taking the keg back.
Yeah.
And even if you account error into it, you're still making a shitload of money. Why do I need to pay a fucking $5 liquor restocking fee?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I haven't been to a big live. Oh, I almost went to see Wu-Tang over the summer, and then I saw that just for the lawn, it was like $60. But then, okay, that's fine. I want to see Nas and Wu-Tang. That's my childhood.
Yeah.
But then with $40 fees on top of it, you're looking at $100 for a lawn seat. And I was like, you know what? Nah, I'm not going to do it.
That's over 50% markup because of the fees.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy that what they tack on at the end of everything. I won't go. I'll stick to club level shows.
Yeah, I won't go. And it seems like a lot of bands like this one band, they're called The Heavy. They're from England. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Yeah, I'm going to see them.
At the Ardmore.
Yep.
Yeah, I might get tickets to that. They played at the TLA. The tickets were like $15 a couple years ago. Or like right as they were starting to bring people back from COVID.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Ardmore, great venue. Like my buddy pulled me there to see Bone Thugs and Harmony. The one year, I was like, oh, that's like his favorite group. I was like, oh, Christ, I really don't want to go. Surprisingly, did not realize that fucking Bone Thugs had all those fucking hits because I fucking knew every one of their songs.
Oh, yeah.
Great show for a fucking rap group, too, and they're usually not as good. But I was like, oh, dude, I'm fucking very surprised that Bone Thugs put on a show. Great venue. A great little venue. Holds like maybe, at best, what, 350?
Is it? Yeah, I was trying to think. Is that where I just saw Marky Ramone? Is that Ardmore Music Hall? Yeah, that's where I saw Marky Ramone, too. Yeah, and they had like $8 fees, and I was like, I'll just buy it at the box office when I get there.
But you had the opportunity to buy it at the box office, too.
Right, yeah, the box office was open every night, and it was open before the show. I wound up actually getting a free ticket because I went up to the box office. I was like, yeah, let me get two tickets. And she's like, oh, you actually only got to pay for one because guy before you left a free ticket for the next person because somebody in his party couldn't make it. And that's
So
pays to go to the box office.
Yeah, but they're playing there. They're not like, I think they can play like a bigger venue, but they'd rather play there because they're probably going to make more money.
Yep.
And they might even get like a small cut, not a whole big cut. They might even get like a small cut of the bar from that too, because they're pretty big band.
And they won't have to pay any merch money there. They're not going to have to It's not like if they go to a Live Nation venue where they got to give them a cut of their merch.
20%.
Yeah. It's bullshit. I'd
look like a fucking VIG from the fucking bookie.
Yeah, right.
It's like, yeah, you got to pay the 20% VIG on top of deuce, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole thing now, everybody fucking, it's funny too, because Live Nation bought Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
And Ticketmaster, like Eddie Vedder warned us about Ticketmaster. Now, I remember I went to a lot of shows back in the day. I don't go to so many anymore because I'm just like fucking tired of it. And I'm busy. I'm an adult now. You know, it's, we used to like say it all the time as like when we were kids, like, oh, what the fuck, man, nobody wants that. And you just get old and you're like, ah, dude, I can't. I got other shit to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're like, oh, look at this. And the big thing too is I've dealt with them before, and I'm sure you have with some shows, is Ticketmaster and Live Nation were so adamant about how bad scalpers were.
Yeah.
And I've never gotten burnt by a scalper.
No, they just made it. They just put this. They just took the scalpers off the street and made them digital. That's all.
They are.
They got a bunch of people that can buy, that buy 50 tickets at a time, and then it's this aftermarket, you know, this after direct market or whatever markup that's going on. It's even worse.
Yeah, even now worse, they're getting cut off the scalping market.
Yep.
Like, and our tickets are verified online. I was like, you made a big stink about a couple guys outside of a venue that were, you know, selling just trying to make tickets. Yeah, selling extra tickets, just trying to make a few bucks. They bought basically like stocks. They bought low, sold high. Most of the time you bought it for face value because it's like there's people there. I've had to do it. Mm-hmm. Dude, I really don't want to eat this ticket. Fuck.
Yep.
All right, I can get like a beer. I can go fucking get a slice of pizza beforehand. I'll sell you the $30 ticket for like $10, and they sell it for $30. They get the $20 markup, but it's, what the fuck? It's, I don't want to take a complete loss on it.
Right.
But they were so adamant about how bad these people were that we got to make digital tickets to make it safer for everybody. And now it's just fucking.
And now you got digital scalpers marking them up hundreds of dollars and making people fight for them online. Like, third-party bidding sites.
And the worst part is Ticketmaster is an authorized reseller market. So now the scalpers are getting a cut from the scalpers. It was never about your safety. It was always about them getting a fucking cut.
They would get a piece of it. Yep. So now Ticketmaster gets a piece of their fucking... they get to sell the ticket twice.
Yeah, Live Nation. Because Live Nation bought Ticketmaster because Ticketmaster failed.
It's a monopoly, and they need to, the antitrust laws need to be looked at with these companies. So hopefully, whether you're a fan of Taylor Swift's music or not, at least hopefully she's going to get them to pay attention to it. Hopefully she's big enough to get them to pay attention to it, because like you said, Eddie Vedder and those guys couldn't do it back in the day.
Yeah, as much as I hated him, Bruce Springsteen, now he's fucking, which he's part of the reason Ticketmaster ticket sales are so fucking high. Him and Billy Joel, seen the scalpers, but they're charging that much. People are willing to pay for it. So what the fuck, fuck you?
Yep. Yeah, well, you know my feelings on Bruce. He's like nails on a chalkboard.
Dude. But he actually fucked my aunt. Like, so my aunt from Orange County, she had a record store and she would like sell bootlegs. And none of the artists really gave a fuck, because like we were saying earlier, they don't make money off of the fucking the record sales. They make it off of merch and live shows, and primarily merch now.
Right.
Bruce was the only one. He got nothing out of this, by the way. He was the only one that fucking had them crack down on this woman. She's selling. There's like, dude, Bruce, just let it go. It's really not that big of a deal. No, it's my music getting out there. She got fined $1 million. Back in the 70s, which was a fucking...
Jesus Christ.
Absolute fucking... That was a lot of fucking money.
Ugh.
Yeah, but that's why I don't like him. And he's just bland.
Yeah, that's mainly why I don't like him.
Yeah. He's just fucking bland, man.
Boring ass fucking music.
I know friends that love him, and they're like, oh man, how can you not like the boss? He's as American as American pie. I was like, so?
That's probably why I don't like him.
Like, he's fucking bland.
Yep, exactly. I'm the type of person who likes to shake up the status quo. He is the status quo. That's like, we're like water and oil. I can't stand that shit.
Yes. But, yeah, and that's like one thing that's, what was another thing with Live Nation? I think Live Nation brought the Ticketmaster thing. Like, back in 2009, Subway had a thing with $5 tickets, and one of the shows was Eagles of Death Metal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, dude, I guess I'll fucking throw back a fucking lousy Subway sandwich to get a fucking $5 fucking concert ticket. Times were tough back then, too. People don't realize.
Yeah, for sure.
So you're thinking $10, you get a fucking sandwich and a fucking $5 foot long and a fucking concert. That's a fucking deal.
Yeah, right. You miss the $5 foot longs nowadays. Shit.
Yeah, but yeah, and I'm like, all right, and I put it in. I had to pay $13 in fucking fees from Live Nation because you had to get the tickets through Live Nation, not Ticketmaster. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, you fucking pieces of shit. I basically got the ticket for the same price as it was supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
God forbid.
Well, I just got some good news at least, because we're going to do Slasher Fest in Cleveland this year, and originally the venue has a deal with Ticketmaster, so we were like, no, we don't want to. We already agreed to do the show there, and the last thing I want to do is do a show where the tickets go through Ticketmaster, but. The venue, you know, we were going to do what we had to do, but luckily they went and looked through all their paperwork, and it looks like, according to their contract, because they have a contract with Ticketmaster, and they fucking hate them too. They can't stand it, and they got into it before they realized what, you know, how horrible Ticketmaster was. But yeah, they said that it looks like third party, since we're a third party promoter, we can sell tickets through whatever avenue we want. So we'll do them through Eventbrite like we usually do. Fuck Ticketmaster.
Yeah, and I got them I think I got something through Eventbrite. Not a bad service.
No, it was I think it's like a $2 service fee. It's like $1.89 or something that they tack on, so it's not too bad.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, and the other thing is that we do a lot of our marketing and stuff through Facebook, and Eventbrite is partners with Facebook, so if you want the Facebook algorithms to be kind to your events, it helps to use Eventbrite as well.
Yeah, which and I understand, like, these places, hey, we got to get our cut, you know, fucking we're doing all the – those barcodes cost a lot for the tickets to get in and all that. I understand that. And it's, all right, dude, you got to get your cut. That's fine. Like, $2-3, I don't mind paying that.
Right, right.
I'm not fucking paying double or fucking more money than the ticket actually fucking costs because liquor restocking fees.
No, exactly. And especially when you're at our level where we try and incentivize buying tickets ahead of time by making them $5 cheaper, you know, or, you know, a few bucks cheaper. When you're working with Ticketmaster, that doesn't work because you make them $5 cheaper and next thing, and they're still $10 more than face value even after the $5 discount because of all the fees and shit.
Yeah, last thing I want to say about Ticketmaster, and this is why I think they fucking suck now, and Live Nation is I went to Nashville last summer for Ric Flair's last match.
Ah, nice.
Wrestling fan.
Yeah, yeah.
It was SummerSlam was there too, so they kind of put the fucking event. They kind of like planned the event around SummerSlam, and I was like, ah, dude, we're here. We might as well go to SummerSlam. So I went there. It was at Nissan Stadium where the Titans play. Nice. I go to the box office. I'm like, look, we could probably get them from a scalper. No scalpers there. I'm like, all right, maybe Tennessee, they fucking bite down on this. They put their thumb on the scalpers a little bit more than up here. And then I go to the box office. I'm like, yeah, can I just get 3 tickets? Yeah, it costs this. I was like, all right, day of show fee. Ticketmaster, digital tickets. So I bought the tickets there. They texted me the tickets, and I'm like, what the fuck? Maybe I wanted a little fucking ticket stub keepsake. Like, you remember when you went to shows and you fucking put all the stubs on the wall or something? Just or like, or in a, like, the 10 lunch box that you got just so you could say, yeah, I was there. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah, the paper tickets, they're gone. I mean, sometimes some of the places are still like you can print them up or whatever, but it's not like getting that actual ticket.
I think with like the Taylor Swift and the big shows, if you brought the paper tickets back, man, it'll. I mean, yeah, there's going to be some counterfeit things in there. Counterfeit things can you really get? You know what I mean? It's like you can only make so much.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could even just have them as, I mean, it's the same as the digital ticket. You just have it as an option if you want to keep one. And you don't have to put them all up. If somebody wants one, you can mail it to them.
What's it called? Or you, like, for those types of shows to stop, like, the scalpers, hey, six to eight or whatever, because you might have, like, two families going, they just put it on the same credit card. Eight people, tickets. Got to pick them up at will call, paper tickets. You have to show a form of ID with your whatever payment you made.
Yeah.
It solves the scalper problem. I'm like, everybody, oh, you know what? It's just like, nah, they're just going to do it because, you know, it's a lot safer. I was like, yeah, I've never gotten burnt by paper tickets. I just think it's people are, you guys are bringing. But that's my solution for it. Of course, it's never going to go down because they're making too much fucking money off of digital tickets with the junk fees.
Yeah. But
it just makes sense. But all right. I know you got stuff to do, so we're hitting the 30-minute mark. Let's wrap this up. What do you got in the pipeline for besides like Slasher Fest and these shows coming up at Bar 13 and Deadsville Productions?
Well, we're about to do two more music videos for Dickie Devil and the Deviants. We just released another single today. I'm like editing all the time. I got an episode one of the sitcom starring Kane Hodder as the voice of Doggy Deviant.
Nice. And then people don't realize Kane Hodder, he was Jason Voorhees in like the later Jason movies, right?
Yeah, he did 10 of them, I think. Eight or ten, I think it was. He was the most. He was the longest running Jason Voorhees out of all the guys that played Jason.
Yeah.
So, and he's been in a ton of other horror movies as well. He's a veteran stunt guy. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, but primarily like he's Jason Voorhees.
He's known for Jason, though, yeah. The Walk and everything like that.
Yeah.
Hatchet. He played Hatchet as well, and then he also just did the motion capture for Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did he do the thing for Mortal Kombat X with the Jason? Was he doing the motion capture for that as well, or was that somebody else?
I'm not sure. He might have.
Yeah.
I know. I think they worked with him for the Friday the 13th game, though.
Yeah, that was basically like is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game like Dead? I think that was like Dead by Daylight, I think it's called.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a cross between that and the Friday the 13th game.
Yeah.
Where you can, like, some people play as teenagers and some play as Leatherface and the family.
Like one versus five or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
That's cool. But
yeah, other than the shows and a lot of video content, the Deviants album comes out March 3rd. And we'll be playing some shows. Well, two shows at Bar 13 this year, and they're going to be playing a lot more outside of the area.
That's good. And that's where you could start making your money as a band when you get a little bit more outside.
Yeah, you gotta extend the reach. Everybody. Yeah. This is their third year as a band, so they've played around here a lot. Everybody's seen them a bunch, so we want to make it a little more rare.
Yeah. Have it mean something, like Taylor Swift coming there.
Right.
Basically her hometown show where nobody can get fucking tickets because they're all on the third-party market.
Yeah, but aside from the Deviants, we also have our Hellaware Horror Punk Fest this summer. And we also have Pretty and Punk this summer. Both of those we are I guess accepting submissions for still. Pretty Punk is going to be all female-fronted punk bands this year again.
That's cool.
And Hellaware is all horror punk bands, so back to our horror punk roots.
Yep.
But yeah, both at Bar 13, and that'll be June 24th for Hellaware and July 15th for Pretty Punk.
All right, nice. And like you said, you got it. You got to, as a business, you do got to span out, but it's good to see that you're getting back to the thing, your bread and butter, what got you started, the horror punk thing.
Yeah, we always do the Hellaware Horror Punk Fest every year and make sure that we put some of the veteran horror punk bands on with a few of the more up-and-coming newer bands.
That's how it should be. You should have, like, the older bands, because the older bands, they get older, they don't want to do it anymore and stuff, and they can only do it for so long. You gotta pave the way for the newer stuff too.
Yep, next generation.
And hopefully there'll be a next generation too, because with the way touring is and all that, like, I actually, funny story, like I worked with a doctor. And I didn't know this. I worked with him for a year. Somebody told me he was the original guitarist of that band, Me Without You.
Okay.
I was like, holy fuck, he's making a good money as a doctor, but I was like, he's making more money as a fucking doctor than a musician. And that's like every kid's dream growing up.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck?
Anyhow, well, that's what I try and tell musicians these days, bands more than music. You got to have way more than music.
Got to have a brand.
Yep, exactly. You gotta have a brand.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm gonna let you go because we're at the 36-minute mark. I know you got stuff to do. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it, man.
No problem. Like everybody, you can get this show. It's going to be on Apple Podcasts. It's going to be on Spotify. Should be on Spotify almost immediately. There's venues. There's outlets to listen to this. You don't have to just go like you're in your car, you're listening to Spotify, give it a listen. Like there's other, you don't have to just like download the app or whatever. So Ronan James, thanks for having me. Thanks for coming on.
And thanks for having me, John. Appreciate it, bro. No
problem. And good luck to you, and congratulations on your success, and congratulations for getting out of fucking using Ticketmaster for your Cleveland Horror Punk show.
Thanks. I definitely consider that a win.
Yes. All right, man. You take care. Good luck to you in the future. Have you on soon. Cheers. Thanks. Bye.